Want to Play with My Balls, children's book. Hey, Louie, do you want to play with my balls? Sure, Chuck. I can hold your ball sack so it won't drag on the ground. Wow, your balls are so big. I can't even fit them in my mouth. My mom's always yelling, Louie, get those balls out of your mouth before you choke. You know what? You know that mean girl, Sally? She squeezed my balls so hard, they look funny. Yeah, well, when I play with Sally, I always end up with the blue balls. Billy Johnson made Sally cry last week. Now that kid's got balls. Not anymore. Yesterday, Sally kicked Billy's balls so hard, he lost one. Look, Louie, your dog is licking my balls. Let's roll them on Sparky's fur. Girls hate hairy balls. No, Chuck, if we show Sally our hairy balls, she'll scream for sure. Yeah, but I don't know. I kind of like Sally. I wish she would just play nice with my balls. Yeah, me too. Hi, Sally. Do you want to play with our balls? Sure, but only if I could play with both of your balls at the same time. The end.
Hear the music.
What was that?
Can you hear the music?
No.
No? Not a lot of people can.
It's like white noise.
Yeah, not a lot of people can hear the music. It's kind of become part of the charm of the city. A lot of people can.
I literally hear white noise.
All right. Welcome back to another episode of On the Throne with Dick. Shout out to Senjin Boychuk, man, you know, for that intro, outro music that, a lot of people can't hear and a lot of people can. It's kind of annoying sometimes, but hey, whatever. It's come, a part of the show, I guess. And hey, shout out to him. And on this week, I'm pretty excited to, introduce Darren Wood and Rust. How's it going, man? Did I freeze?
Not that well. No, yeah. I don't know. I can't tell if you're frozen or just standing still. Looks like you're frozen.
I'm moving. Ah, shit.
I can see you and hear you clear now.
You can see me and hear me clearly?
Yeah.
Perfect, perfect. Yeah, how's it going, buddy? What are you up to today?
Just hanging out, doing some stuff, cleaning the pool, doing that kind of stuff, getting house ready for summer.
Fuck yeah, man. We're getting ready for summer. My wife just bought a barbecue here, and, I wish I could help her build it, but I fucking the whole broken foot thing is keeping me from doing much of anything. But I was holding one end for her up while she screwed things in, and that was good. And then came to do this. But if you're listening to this, the cast came off last week, but today the cast comes off tomorrow. So I'm excited for that.
Fuck, so yeah. What I got from that story is, while your foot's broken, your wife's doing the screwing.
Yes, my wife is doing all the screwing while my foot is broken. Yes. Yeah, that's exactly what you got from that. And but no, I'm doing a lot of one-legged thrusting during this whole time, man. I've learned that, one-legged thrusting, man, I'm fucking Jason Bourne, bro.
Careful when you get that cast off. You start walking, you can be walking in circles. The one leg's going to be stronger than the other.
It's already happened. I mean, I took this leg here is so skinny because technically it's a half cast. I have it off right now. I haven't had it on all day, and this leg here is so skinny compared to my other one, man. It looks like I've skipped leg day for 20 years.
How long were you gonna cast for?
Fuck. By the time 8 weeks, just about.
8 weeks. Damn. That's a long time not to use those muscles.
Yeah. I had no idea, dude. But it was so skinny after 3 weeks. You know what I mean? It was skinny, and 3 weeks of being off that leg, it's a lot. A lot of that muscle just took off. It's like, we're going on vacation. See you later.
I know how that is.
Yeah. No, it's I don't know. Am I delayed for you?
No. Well, I don't know if it's delayed or not. I'm just listening to you talk when he comes through. Like, your voice is matching your mouth and everything, though.
Ah, fuck. Man, the it's wild how, the whole podcasting thing, man, is very finicky at times. And then, at times it's just not. I wonder if it's my fucking basement. But then again, I don't know. It could be yours. Could be mine.
You want me to try to turn it off my Wi-Fi real quick?
Yeah, if you want to try. Yeah, sure. I don't care. It's up to you. It's your Wi-Fi. I can't ask you to sacrifice your data.
All right, Jim. My clear coming through straighter.
No, you're way more clear. Yeah.
I'm right down there next to my freaking router too.
Yeah, man, dude, I have a lot of those issues too. My router, sometimes I'm like right next to it and it just fucks right up. Yeah, you're a lot more clear and your mouth is like matching up too. It's yeah. The internet,
oh, for
man.
For fuck's sake.
Dude, we could put a man into space.
Honestly, when I was going to do my podcast, this is the freaking reason why I never finished through with it. We can never get our fucking internet to work properly together. And that was a different internet at the time, but it's always been an issue. Once you hit that record button, it just goes to shit.
Yeah, I don't understand that, man. And I'm wondering if it's because I'm in the basement. And I don't know. I should go upstairs or whatever, but fuck it. No, we're here. We're here, and everything seems to be going okay right now, you know? And hey, that's what editing's for, baby. You know what I mean? Like, we can edit out the shit. But yeah, fuck, man. Yeah. It's fuck. Yeah, so you were starting your own podcast?
No, a buddy and I were going to. It was going to be the Damp Show. The Darren and Matt podcast. So we figured damp is like they come in dry, they leave wet, kind of damp. And then we're just going to, it would basically be the same kind of thing, just bring different people on and talk. So it'd be a lot of just him and I talking back and forth. And yeah. Fortunately, another Marine. And we're just going to do that. And just the issue, he lives on the East Coast, I'm on the West Coast. So it's just syncing up times with work and everything. And then to give us an hour to sit there and talk. And then every time we did have it, something would go with my computer or his or my internet or his. And it was just, we just never could make it happen.
Do you know why that is, right?
Well,
because you got that American, you got that American cell service. You know what I mean? It, you know, it's not the greatest, you know, just like the, you know, the.
Weren't you just saying you're trying to get sponsored by Starlink, which is an American internet?
Yeah, well,
Elon Musk.
I'm not trying to get sponsored by Starlink. I'm not trying to get sponsored by Starlink. I'm trying to get someone to sponsor my show that gives me Starlink.
That's still, either way, it's still American internet you're trying to freaking get.
Yeah. No, so isn't he technically South African?
He's from there, but all his products and everything are from here in America.
Yeah, I don't know about all that, man. No, this is the fucking friendly banter we've been having across the TikTok lives the last couple nights, man. You know, I love it because, you know, we've been having like a little you know, fuck the States and fuck Canada back and forth banter that's kind of been friendly but funny. You know, we haven't been douchebags about it, and everyone around us can see, you know, all right, this is funny and we're just joking. We don't actually give a fuck. And, you know, that's, you know, hard to find on the internet these days, dude. You know, it turns out
if you get one person who gets all butthurt about shit, and it ruins everything. Like, well, yeah. We had you, me, Dustin, was it Grace? And we had a Stoner, I think, was in there for a little bit. We had a few other people, and everybody's just a lighthearted, fun person, knowing that we're just talking shit. Any of this politics shit is so far outside of our fucking hands. We can't do shit about it except talk shit and laugh.
Yeah.
So when it's not like you're implementing these policies, I'm not the one who's doing it. So why would people get mad at each other for having a discussion about it? Why not just make fun of it together and laugh?
Absolutely.
That's too damn serious about shit these days.
That's fucking key, man. You know, and I, yeah, it's too crazy. And, you know, my wife and I were talking about that the other day. We were wondering if, like, our parents experienced this shit in the 90s with politics and in the 80s and whatnot with politics. Like, is it just been the last, you know, because the internet makes it worse and whatnot. Is it just been the last, like, 20 years that have been, like, you know, politics is just, you know, a hard thing to talk about and have people get along with? Or is it, like, always been like that? I don't know. And you know, I never asked my parents, and I don't think she's asked hers, so.
Yeah, I think they probably did have their back and forth, but it was more like that water cooler talk they would talk about. They didn't have internet to just go on live and say what the fuck they wanted to say. When they were around other people, they're at the barber shop, at the water cooler, at work, on their lunch breaks. But normally, depending on the job you did, like blue collar people were usually all like-minded in who they were voting for. And then if you're in an office job or whatever, you're probably voting for the same people. So you didn't really have too many times to run into people with a difference of opinion or lifestyle like we do every day on the internet now. But I'm sure when they ran into people who disagree, they had their conversations or had their debates and whatnot. Is it to the point where now they try to cancel people or whatever? Probably not, because they weren't petty or little bitches like that back in the day. this fucking country, like our country, we've gotten so fucking soft with allowing too many people to fucking let their feelings fucking rule what everybody else does.
Yeah.
And it's like, so I'm like firm in that whole, I'm not offensive. You're just offended. Don't try to fix everybody who offends you. Fix yourself and stop being offended by stupid shit.
Yeah.
It's like, if absolutely. I say the word cunt and that offends you, lots of people say the word cunt. So if you're offended by that, it's a you issue, not a me issue for saying it.
Absolutely. You know, there's a difference between hate speech and speech that you hate, right? And that's exactly what it comes down to, man. Like, a lot more people need to listen to Tom McDonald, in my opinion. You know, I love that guy. Mm-hmm. I love his music, and he's Canadian. Shout out to Canadians, man. He moved to America, but like, you know, he's Canadian, you know, born and bred.
Yeah, well, he came to the promised land.
The promised land, or it's because you guys have hurt the Canadian dollar so much, you know.
Well, if it was strong, it wouldn't have been allowed to be hurt.
Oh, shit. No, I say that a lot, and I don't want to really talk about politics too much, but I say that a lot. You know, the Trump tariffs, you know, aren't what's hurting the Canadians right now. You know, 9 years of liberal bullshit is what hurt the Canadians. You know, you can't just go be like, oh, 2 months of this bullshit has hurt us so much. No, it takes a lot longer than that. You know what I mean? Yeah. You're not.
I'm not anywhere near well versed enough in politics to even have a full on debate.
Yeah.
On full topics. I can say a few things of what I've seen, but even still, then that's just speculation of what I've seen and whatnot. Yeah. So I don't really do too, like on my page on TikTok in my lives, I don't do politics. I don't do religion. I don't do that kind of stuff on there. Just not only because we were saying like everybody's feelings wants to get hurt if it bring you say something that's opposite of their feelings or whatever. So it's just better off to freaking just stay away from all of that stuff.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, 100%. It's, you know, like, politics, man, fucking just, I don't even know the word I'm looking for right now, dude. It's bullshit. I like what you said, you're not well-versed enough in politics, you know? And for me, I just like to, you know, salt it, you know, I like to like get under people's
skin. Sprinkle a little of the bullshit to get people pissed and then walk away.
Even if I sound ridiculous and I have no idea what I'm talking about, and even, you know, it's funny, right? It's funny, you know, ignorance or stupidity is comedy, right?
And knowing you're 100% like, wrong, just come in there and preach the shit out of it, just to ruffle feathers and then be like, okay, bye.
I do that to my wife all the time. All the time. I'll just like come in and drop, like, we'll be having a stupid argument and then I'll just get ridiculous about it. And like, it's 20 minutes into the argument before she's like, you're just fucking with me. I'm like, yeah, I am.
I knew I was wrong 10 minutes ago. I'm just doing this to piss you off now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Fucking women, man. So fucking Wood and Rust, right? Like, how did you come up with Wood and Rust? And like, what's up with the name? You know, like, what's the meaning behind it?
So, Wood and Rust is actually my own little business name. The whole reason why I started the Wood and Rust is I build custom furniture. I do a lot. I'm a welder, fabricator, millwright by trade. That's what my job is, my day job. But I love carpentry. After getting out of the military, I did deal with PTSD and stuff, and doing woodworking was like my peace, my zen, my focus. Get the close the world out. Just let me build shit. Let me make furniture. Let me do this. I'm going to build whatever the hell I was making. And then that was just my thing. My ex's daughter, she was my daughter. I raised her, but yeah, that's neither here nor there. But she had a school event, the after school party that they do where they bring the parents and they asked if they could borrow a set of my cornhole boards. I was like, no, these things are too fucking nice to be letting all these little kids run and stomp on them. I'm like, how about this? I'll make you a set of cornhole boards with your school logo and just donate them to the school. So you guys always have them for events. Just get your own bags for them. Just order them on Amazon and I'll donate the boards. So then I made a set of nice ass cornhole boards, painted them the school colors, stained their logos and everything on them. And I posted a picture. Oh, I just made these for the school. The school did a little post. And then all of a sudden, my DMs on Facebook and everything were blowing up. Hey, Can you make me this? Can you make me that? And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to put this as part of my thing. I'm going to start a little business out of it. So then doing the furniture that I like to build is usually more rusticky. And I like incorporating metal, rusted metal and old metal kind of stuff with it. So I was like, okay, wood and rust. I'm like, oh, fuck it, wood and rust. There we go. 'Cause I make stuff out of wine barrels and old stuff. Like, I just like throwing shit together and making cool fucking furniture and just different stuff. So I was like, wood and rust sounds cool. I've never heard anybody with that. It's both things instead of wood and metal. Wood and rust is because it's rusticky. I did that. And then I bought a laser engraver. So I engraved tumblers and wood and metal and just different stuff, personalizing things and all of that. And somebody was on one of my friends from high school. She's an Instagram model and she does the whole, she had like 300 something thousand followers. She's like, ordered one of my tumblers off of my website. And she's like, hey, do you have TikTok? And I was like, fuck no, I don't have that fucking app. And she's like, you need to download it. It's the largest social media there is out there. You're gonna get so much business for your company doing this. So I was like, all right. And my first video was me doing, I did the the show The Office.
Yep.
So I did an office themed Tumblr. There was Dwight Schrute, the fuck the boss, what's his name? Freaking, well, I can't think of his fucking name now, but and it was like actual images of them, not just like silhouettes. It was like their pictures. And it said The Office. I had their little logo with like the door placard on there. Did the video with it spinning around on a little thing and had freaking the office music playing behind it. Got like 500 views. She did an unboxing video. It got me like one follower from her unboxing video of it. Her video did great, but nobody gave a shit to come follow me. And she's like, no, you got to keep posting, posting, posting. And I kept trying to make this page be about my business and my woodworking and laser engraving and everything else. But it didn't do a damn thing. Could not get traction. I made some cool videos, did editing of my cornhole boards and the furniture and stuff. It just wouldn't do a fucking thing. And then one day I just hopped on the camera and made a fucking funny video of me saying some stupid shit. And then boom, I had a 12,000 view video. And I was like, holy shit, this is fucking amazing. And then just got a bunch of followers. And all of a sudden, I was like, hey, I got my 1,000 followers. I'm like, okay, I can go live now. I see all these people going live. This is a cool thing. Fucking set my shit up, had my lights, had everything, my whiskey. I was ready to go. Put that bitch on. 5 minutes into the live, nothing. Not one person came in that bitch. Freaking one person came in like at 15 minutes in, and it was like a 13-year-old kid. I'm like, no, you got to get the fuck out of here. This ain't a kid's live kind of thing. Sat there for all a good 20 minutes with nobody coming in. I was like, fuck this live shit. And I was done with it. And then I just kept just doing stupid, funny videos. Then I had a couple of series that blew up my account that people freaking love. I did like the inappropriate jokes with my mother-in-law with one of my big series. And I was getting multi-million view videos every week, like three, four, five multi-millions. I went from 1,000 to 10,000 to 500,000 followers in months. It was insane. And then after a little bit, freaking, I got divorced, stopped doing those videos. So I didn't have a mother-in-law anymore and started bouncing around with different content, but it just wouldn't take. And then now my drink videos are what's fucking blowing me up again.
Yeah, your drink videos are badass, man. I didn't know you were doing that. I met you in Jeremy Littell's live, actually, man. You know, and everyone knows who Jeremy is, obviously. You know, I was like super pumped. Dave, the upcycler, and I are good friends, right? And so he knew that I was trying to get Jeremy Littell's attention or wanted to talk to him to come on my podcast, right? And one night, Dave, I'm like lying in my bed and next to my wife, and it's 11 o'clock, and Dave's like, get in my live right now. And I'm like, oh man, I'm just trying to go to bed, bro. He's like, get in my live. So I went in, and there's Jeremy Littell. I'm like, fuck, no way, bro. What the hell? So I was on my backup account, which was actually my main account, but like I stopped using it. And so my backup became my main. And I went in on my backup and he invites me in. So I come in and Jeremy's like, that's a badass name, dude. I love that name. And we talk, he follows me. Shit. Yeah, fuck. Jeremy Littell finally followed me. He talked about my podcast. He said he'd come on. And then so a couple weeks had gone by and I went in on my main, which is now my main, I guess. I went in on my main and I went into the thing and I'm like, Jeremy, it's me, bro, you know, and he wasn't acknowledging, you know, like he doesn't know who I am, right? And so I had to go on my other account. I'm like, bro, you got to follow me on my other account, right? And he's like, all right. So we did that and he starts talking to me. Anyways, Jeremy's amazing shit, dude. I love that guy. But yeah, that's where I met you. And I had no idea what you did, but the voice, bro, I heard the voice, right? I'm like, that's a badass voice, right? And then I just hit the follow button and then I checked out some of your videos and yeah, the drinks, man, you know, and I learned about, what was it? Crown Blackberry the other night from you, dude.
Yeah, that's what I just did yesterday with my Crown Blackberry, and Dr. Pepper Crown or Dr. Pepper Blackberry and Crown. So yesterday was my 2 years from the first drink video I ever made. And it wasn't even, I was never even intending it to become a series or a thing.
Yeah.
So I was, I had friends send me some videos like, hey, this is a viral drink, you should try it. And I was like, well, fuck it. I was all dressed up getting ready to go to the rodeo. And I was like, fuck it. I'll just make a video on me making this drink. I need something to post anyways. Yeah. And like, I posted it. I went to the rodeo. I came back and I think it had like 600 and something thousand views. And I was like, holy shit. And just like the comments. And then I saw, you need to try this one. You need to try that one. And I'm just like, well, then like a couple weeks went by. I'm like, oh, let me do another drink video. See how this does. And I kept getting some traction. And it's probably been more so the last 6 months to a year. I've really been trying to do, I was doing like one a week, one so often or whatever. It's like, it's expensive buying all these fucking bottles of liquor to try these drinks. But then I was like, hey, if my videos do it good enough, I can use the money that I make off the video to buy another bottle and just reinvest it into the business of the TikTok, I guess you would say.
Yeah.
And it freaking now was just kind of like, I have a stash of freaking different types of bottles of liquor that I just basically been, I don't want to say getting for free, but they pay for themselves by me making the video. And let's face it, fucking 80 to 85% of the comments, motherfuckers don't even care about the damn drink. It's just about my voice.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, it's but, funny.
I'll take what I can get. I don't give a shit. A win's a win.
I was going to ask, has your voice always been that deep? But fucking obviously.
So my voice changed. It's funny though, because my voice changed my freshman year in high school. Like it wasn't as deep as it is now, but it was deep. But I got made fun of for it. So I started making myself talk higher pitched because I didn't want to be made fun of in high school because I was a freshman and I sang in choir. I love singing. I love being in choir and doing all that. But when my voice changed, I used to be a tenor and then I went to being a fucking bass and a baritone for certain songs and being an alto. So I had a super high range and a super low range. I had no middle range whatsoever. So there was, they put me like literally they'd have like the men on the left or women on the right, men in the middle, the other women on the other side. And they would put me literally on the edge. So there'd be always a female next to me where the alto and then me. So with some songs I would sing with them and I'd be right next to them. And then I sing with the men for other songs because the range, if there was no need for bass in a certain song, I wouldn't do shit. So I'd just be able to sing with either side. And it was so funny because you see me and I was always into sports and all that. You see, I don't have the high range now, but I'd be able to belt out some low ass songs. And I'd always had a very strong voice and powerful voice. And my choir would be like, hey, calm the fuck down. Like, back up, like you're overpowering everybody else in the fucking 80 person choir. It's like, well, my bad, I just get into it.
Yeah, man, that's hilarious. Fucking, you were saying that you were in the military, eh?
Yeah, I did a little over 4 years in the Marine Corps.
So, like, I've noticed a lot of America. Like, were you just walking along the street one day and you got sucked in by a recruiter, or was that always something like you always wanted to do? You were just like,
no, so I did it because. No, actually, I'm first generation in the U.S. My parents were both immigrants from the Azores from Portugal. Oh. I grew up not with the American pride lifestyle the way I am now. It was more so just the home life. We were a little bit sheltered, didn't grow up with money. We were actually, my mom was a single mom with raising three kids by herself until my stepdad came around. And we struggled growing up. And my mom did her fucking damnedest and fucking worked her ass off to make sure we were good. But she didn't know military stuff. So I was raised by her mainly. And then my stepdad, which my step grandpa, he was Navy, but he never talked about it. So I didn't really know military and all of that. But I started through high school starting to have this, okay, this is my country. I want to own it kind of thing. I was born and raised here. So I am born citizen here. But then 9/11 happened. I was in school and it just fucking utterly pissed me off. Like, hey, somebody's coming and bullying me. Like, and I've always been protective of people. It's like, you're bullying my fucking country, and I love this country because what it's done for my family. I'm like, fuck you. So went and talked to the fucking Air Force recruiter. I'm like, hey, I want to join. I want to go fly jets. I want to go fucking bomb the shit out of these motherfuckers. He's like, okay, what college are you going to? I'm like, no, I don't want to go to college. I want to go to the military and go right now. He's like, well, you have to be an officer to fly a jet, and then so you have to get a degree, then go through officer school, and if you pass, then you can do that. I'm like, no, fuck it. I want to go right now. Well, right next to this Air Force recruiter is the Marine recruiter. I honestly didn't know what the fuck the Marine Corps was. And I'm sitting there wearing my Letterman jacket, got my all championship patches from wrestling and football and everything else, just stacked every patch you can think of just on this jacket because I freaking was a straight job. In my school, we had good teams. Well, he's like, hey, are you competitive? I'm like, yeah. You like being the best? Yeah. You need to join the Marine Corps. We're the baddest motherfuckers there is. Sign me up. Boom. It was done. Yeah, I talked to the recruiter for 30 minutes. That motherfucker told me what I needed to hear. And I fucking went to go sign that fucking paper, took him home to my mom. My mom was like, absolutely fucking not. You are not fucking going to the military. And I was like, oh, I'm going to go either sign the paper, or when I turn 18 in a couple months, I'm signing the paper. So you're just delaying the inevitable with this. So, but she still didn't sign it. We were at a family friend's house who served in the Navy as well. He was like, no, military is going to be the best thing for him. It's going to be great for him. You should sign that paper. Mom's like, nope, because I'm the youngest, so I'm the baby. She's like, no, not my baby, kind of thing. So it was just one of those things where as soon as I turned 18, I was already going through the pulley system and everything like that. I signed the dotted line. A couple months later, I was in boot camp.
Fuck yeah. Man, that's great. That's cool. How old were you at 9-11? Like, oh, 17, you just said that.
9-11, yeah. I was a junior. Yeah, I think I was 17. So then I had to wait until the next year to join when I was 18. I actually graduated, then I turned 18 a couple of days later. So my birthday is middle of June. We graduated beginning of June. And then the day, I think it was on my birthday or the day after, I was in the recruiter's office signing the fucking papers.
I was 12. I remember that day very, very vividly, man. You know what I mean? I was in grade 7, I think it was. My wife and I, you know, she was in grade 8. So I was in grade 7. Shout out to the Cougars out there. You know, she was, I remember the principal.
What came Cougars are you talking about?
my wife.
well, I'm not sure if it was like a school mascot or you're talking about your wife.
I remember, you know, the principal came over the announcements and was like, oh, shit, you know, our American friends are in a very, you know, we had no idea what was going on. She just said, you know, we're sorry to hear about our American friends, yada, yada, yada. And I had no idea what she was talking about. I go home and it's all over the TV and it's like, whoa, that's crazy, you know? And like, I don't know where you stand with it or not about the whole 9-11 thing and what you believe and what you don't believe and whatnot. The internet's full of conspiracy theories and I know where I stand now. I know where I stand on it.
I mean, we did it to ourselves.
That's what I meant. Well, look at what it did.
After seeing and being, well, for me, I'm like I said, I'm a welder fabricator. I work with metal. Jet fuel does not burn hot enough long enough to fucking melt that much, those big of fucking beams and columns and everything like that. And I've seen the videos of the freaking explosions coming out 80 feet below or 80 stories down before, where there was nowhere near. I think it was. War is very lucrative. Yeah. Countries. It's just, there's too much. And then with the whole, a year before 9-11 happened, there was a vehicle bomb in the basement and they had everything shut down for a year for repairs. And they just had all these vans coming in and out. And I feel like those vans were all bringing the explosives to plant on all the fucking columns where they needed to, because how else did that fucking thing implode more perfectly than planned implosions? When they bring down casinos and shit in that are only 12, 13, 14 stories high in Vegas, so that way it contains in that one city block. How did you have two, what was it, 300 story? I don't even know how many fucking stories were the fucking Twin Towers were, but they're fucking had a lot of stories on them. To get those things to perfectly implode when they try to plan it, they don't even get it perfect every fucking time, but a jet, two planes hit it and it fucking brings it down so perfect. I call bullshit. Also, I call bullshit on it. But either way, when I was young and dumb, which is what the military wants, is us young, dumb motherfuckers in there that don't question shit and believe what we're told and everything else. I was fucking, I don't regret going in. I learned a lot. It did a lot for me. It still gives me plenty of things to be grateful and benefits. I feel like everybody should join the military and do it. I just wish governments, not just our governments, period, weren't so fucking shady.
I saw a video on Instagram the other day, and it was a guy, I don't know if it was true. He said he's the guy that shot Osama bin Laden or whatever, but I don't know. He's like, how I feel about going and doing this. He's like, of course I shot a guy who had a gun in his hand.
But it's just right after you said a guy shot, and that's all I heard.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm going to find this video because it's like right here. I had this video that I saw the other day. I'll show it to you, man. It's pretty interesting, actually. I don't know. Let me know.
I'm at the point now where I don't think I fought for the country. I fought for some politician's view on something. There are particular guys that I think of that I killed. And I remember one dude in particular that I killed. And like, I shot his buddy. And then I came through his room. I killed him in front of his wife in a bedroom because he went for a gun. And I think about him now, and it's like, all right, why did I kill that guy? Well, because he went for a gun. Okay, but why did he go for a gun? Well, because I was in his fucking room at 2 a.m. Well, why was I in his room at 2 a.m? Well, because George fucking Bush was...
Yeah, yeah. No, like, get your mind thinking, right? Like,
damn near this. I've never seen that video, but I was talking about this the other day with Dustin. We were talking about terrorists and this and that. And I was saying that we make the terrorists, because if the roles were reversed, I'd be a terrorist. And that's when they say, oh, when you were over there doing this, I'm like, I don't blame a single one of those motherfuckers. And they should have shot me dead center in my fucking face, and I'd have deserved it. Because if any other country came fucking here, and because one person says, hey, in the city that I live in, there's a high value target. So go through, kick in every motherfucking front door, throw a flashbang grenade in there, zip tie the entire family in the corner, and ransack their fucking house looking for guns and people. If a motherfucker kicks in my fucking front door, first thing I'm doing is grabbing my pistol, and you better believe you're going to have that entire magazine fucking in your chest or in your fucking face. And if that's going to label me a terrorist for defending my fucking family, by all means, call me a fucking terrorist. I don't care. No, we don't, just because we're America doesn't mean we belong in other people's country telling them what the fuck to do, and should have the right to kick their fucking doors in, put them in a corner, zip tied, go through their drawers, go through their underwear drawer, go through their fucking entire house and do that bullshit. Trust me, I'm an American pride as it fucking gets. I love my fucking country, but what we did over there was total bullshit with a lot of it. And what we, like I said, that's why the military wants young, dumb motherfuckers. And when I say dumb, I don't mean not smart. I mean, haven't lived yet and don't know the right from wrong, but what politics and government actually does. Because if you told me now, hey, I want you to enlist now to go do that, I'm like, fuck you. That's, I ain't doing that shit. That's wrong. If we're going to go to an actual green on green fucking war, I'm here for it. I'll go back right fucking now. But I ain't going to go fucking doing that to innocent people.
Come to Canada, yeah, bro.
These motherfuckers kicking my, like I said.
Yeah.
The motherfucker kicks in my door, I'm going to do the exact same thing they did. And a lot of them took it like, hey, we can't do shit about it, which fucking sucks. And I feel horrible for those people that we did that to. I guess call it life, because that's the country that they live in and that's whatever. But they can't choose where the fuck they were born and how and who you're born.
Yeah.
But fuck, dude, it's like, as I got older, the more and more I thought about it, it was just, we're fucking dicks. We're a bunch of fucking bullies. And we created fucking a shitload of these terrorists because they were pissed at what we did to them first and freaking retaliate. Like, yeah, I can't fucking take a whole battalion of Marines on, but I guarantee you I could put a fucking bomb in the ground and wait for that motherfucker to drive over and at least get one of them bitches. And that's what they did. We created a lot of the mother. There was already those that hated us there before we got there, but there was a lot of them that we turned into terrorists.
I've been saying it a lot, you know, like if you think about it, right? You carpet bomb a fucking village, right? And you create a whole bunch of orphans. Those orphans grow up hating the people that did it. They all get together. They create a group. Then they come in after you, right? They all got one, you know, and that's just the vicious circle. Ben, I don't know if I'm Canadian, but like, I think I can say thank you for your service though. You know what I mean? That's, you know, you still went over there.
Like I said, we did have some Canadians over there with us in Iraq, and They were cool dudes. They didn't want to do the shit we had to do.
How many war crimes did the Canadians commit, bro?
You'd have to leave the wire to commit a war crime.
That's what you're saying. You're like, fuck them Canadians.
I'm just saying, they never left the wire. They would sit there, literally, basically do guard. And then we had a couple of different countries that come and like guard the bases and shit. But
maybe that's why they
became the Canadians wire. Didn't maybe. Do too much.
Maybe that's why we didn't leave the wire, though, right?
We wanted them to go with us. They didn't want to.
Yeah, maybe it was the upper echelon or whatever you want to call it, the upper management there. They fucking, you know, they were like, no, don't let the Canadians leave. Every time the Canadians get involved in a war, war crimes happen, right? And that's straight facts, bro. Canadians were all about them war crimes.
Yeah, well, the worst thing about being over there or being overseas, Iraq or Afghanistan, we're the only ones who followed the Geneva Convention. We still have to abide by those rules of war when the other countries that we're fighting against don't.
Fuck.
We weren't there to fight them. We were there to help them or freaking teach them and liberate or whatever the fuck else it was.
Operation Iraqi Liberation.
Iraqi Freedom.
Yeah. How many tours did you do? You told me the other night how many you did.
Two in Afghanistan, one in Iraq.
Nice. And how, what's a tour? 6 months or a year or whatever?
It depends on what branch and what you're doing. Normally it's 7, but we got extended. So I did like 14 in Afghanistan. Then I did 10, I want to say, in Iraq for my last deployment. So you're supposed to have a company or another battalion come relieve you. So they all come in and you leave, like they bring a couple in. We send a couple out, like they'll bring a few hundred in, we'll send 100 out kind of thing. And then we do their transition where we're all there together for like 2 weeks, letting them know, hey, this is what's going on here. This is these roads, teaching them the ways for a couple of weeks. And then we fucking bounce out. But the battalion that was supposed to relieve us every fucking time would fail their training that they had, because you have to do a thing called CACs. And you have to get a certain score on this saying that your battalion is ready to be in combat. Every fucking deployment, these motherfuckers failed. And they were always the same company to relieve us, because it was like a little cycle. So every fucking time we'd get extended for them to redo their training, to redo these tests to make sure that they were combat ready.
Yeah. That sucks, man.
And I won't
say
what battalion that was.
That's kind of like being in the oil field a little bit, except for there's no bullets flying at me or anything like that. You know, I've done 6 months straight in at a time away from home, spent 20 days at home in 2 years, right? And, you know, that shit's hard, right? You know, it's not bullets flying hard, but like it's you know, it's hard so mentally.
Being away from your family plays a toll.
Yeah, absolutely. And now it's up until this past year, I was doing 6 to 7 weeks away. And then, you know, this past 6-7 months here, just before I broke my ankle, actually, I was doing 20 days on and 10 days off, sometimes 22 on and then
that's
7
not
days.
Bad.
No, it was good. It was good. You know, I got to be home a lot more, and then, you know, I break my ankle, and, you know, I've been home for 8 weeks now, man. And, you know, turns out my kids are pretty
now cool. You're ready to leave.
No, man, I'm having a good time. I don't want this to end, man, but it's going to end. It's coming to an end soon here. You know, I get the cast off, like I said, tomorrow, and then physio starts the very next day. I didn't want to leave a gap in there. I'm supposed to be there last week, right? So I just want to get that physio started and whatnot and get back to work. Luckily it happened at work, right? So, you know, I'm getting, you know, paid to, you know, I got to do modified duties. And yeah. So I've never had that before. So, you know, interesting times, you know, I've made great use of this couch over the last 2 months. You know, I haven't really left it. So, you know,
lots of work. Be off for a good little bit, get your physical therapy done and make sure that it's healed properly and everything.
Yeah. Three times a week for the next month. And then I go away on my vacation, come back, and then I go back to work. So yeah. I'm pretty excited. You know, I did really did a number on it. Right. That's why I broke the ball of the ankle. I seared it off or whatever. And then just above it, on the ankle bone, just the fibula, the little pieces, the hairline fracture, those I think are healed. It's the dislocations. I dislocated two bones in my foot. One of them's the talonavicular, which all the movement in your foot goes through that bone. And it basically, it's, it connects. It's part of the connection between your leg and your foot. And I dislocated that and it slid right over and it was a ball hanging.
Oh, I had a buddy that did that in front of me. Like his foot was literally like the straight part of it was literally on the side of his leg where you could see the whole bottom of his leg and his foot was next to it. It was gnarly. Yep. Happening in a bullfight.
Yeah. Dude, it's not. It's either your foot either inverts or everts, right? And I had to make an emergency exit, and I jumped out, landed on some ice, slid into a rut, and I tried to get up to walk, and I'm like, ooh, that feels off, right? And I think when I landed, I dislocated, and then when I tried to walk, because there was nothing there to support, I broke.
That's when you did all the other damage.
Yeah, yeah. And there was
you just jumped out of your car and you fucking hurt yourself?
It wasn't a car. It wasn't a car. It was a truck. It was like a cube van type thing. It was a good time. Fucking, I'll never do that again, man. I'll tell you that.
Me and my friends, we joke around. I've been through so much shit in my life, and I should have been probably dead so many goddamn times. The way I get taken out is going to be the stupidest, simplest shit. Like I'm going to trip over a curb and hit my head on a fucking twig or something, and it's going to hit me in the right spot and kill me. It ain't going to be nothing cool. I got killed in Iraq, or fucking got smashed by equipment or something on this crazy job I was doing. It's going to be the stupidest little thing where like a fucking cat jumped on my head and it twisted my neck wrong and stupid shit. I don't know. I just have a feeling it's going to be some dumb little shit that takes me out.
Well, it's like my Nana. My Nana died 2 weeks ago, right? In the fucking... Oh, dude, you know what? Honestly, probably for the better. She was in her 80s, and, you know, she had two strokes 5 years ago, 4 years ago. And, you know, she was living in a home. And, you know, this is crazy because back in, like, the 70s and 80s or whatnot, she got into a car accident where she died twice or multiple times anyways on the table. Brought back to life, right? Then she had cancer, which was bad. And, you know, it was supposed to kill her. She survived it. Fucking 80-something years old man gets taken out by a bladder infection.
That's what I'm saying. That's going to be the same thing. It's going to be like a kidney stone that gets stuck and killed me because I got an infection from it or some stupid shit.
Yeah. Yeah, she had dementia and, you know, brought on.
Actually gets rough.
Yeah. So in 2020, she had the two, or 2021, I can't remember which one, she had two strokes. And, you know, the last time I talked to her was during COVID in 2020, I was working 4 hours away from where she lived. So I drove the 4 hour, I had a day off. I drove 4 hours. I had lunch with her, bought her an ice cream. She gave me a tour of her apartment building and I drove 4 hours back. I spent like maybe 2 hours with her. So that was a good day. And that was the last time I saw her. And then, you know, the last time I talked to her on the phone, you know, we couldn't really talk much. But in 2023, I got a random phone call from her during the day at work. And for an hour, she remembered who I was. She didn't know who I was, right? And then, you know, one day it's like, hey, how are you? You know, and we talked. And that was nice, right? But that was the last time we talked. And my cousin was like, hey, she's not doing so hot. I was planning on seeing her when I drove through you know, when I was on my way to my sister's wedding.
Oh, okay.
I was going to stop for the night and go see her. And my cousin's like, hey, she's not doing so well. I was like, fuck, right? And so, yeah, then she pulled through. She actually did. She had a good day and we're all like optimistic. Yeah, she's going to live, right? And then that night it was like, hey, turn for the worst. And then, you know, overnight, I knew I was going to wake up to the text message that day. You could just feel it, right? And like, yeah. I woke up and she's like, so she passed, you know, early this morning. I was like, you know what? I'm happy for her. You know, my grandfather died fucking.
She's probably better off.
My grandfather died 20 years ago, right? So 22 years ago he died, right? So she's been lonely and she just, you know, and I mean, she's been, you know, the love of her life's been gone for over 20 years and she's been living in a home and she's just sick. Oh, dude, it's for the best, you know?
Yeah, that's how my grandpa had a stroke. Same thing, he was in the friggin' hospital. And then it was like, oh, yeah, he's doing really good. And then all of a sudden, hey, get your ass over here. Do the drive. You come say your goodbyes.
Yeah.
I was like, well, fuck. Middle of the night, fucking my ass in. Drove the 2 hours to the hospital that he was at. It was just basically me talking to the fucking bed. that he was so incapacitated and gone, and then drove home first thing in the morning and got the message, hey, he's completely, we're pulling the plug. And so
yeah,
it happened so fucking quick.
That's tough, man. But you know what? That's also life, you know? Like, the guy probably was old. He lived a good life, you know? And you know, if I could live to be, you know, her age that she was, fucking, that's good enough for me. You know, my great-grandmother, her mom, was like 90-some-odd years old, like 95, 96 when she died, you know? That's a crazy-ass life, you know? And so it's crazy. More crazier it is about that story is my dad was adopted when he was a kid and didn't know his mom, and I didn't know my grandma my whole life, right? 13 years ago, we met her for the first time, right? So, like, you know, I only got a short amount of time with her, but it was, you know, it wasn't enough, but she left a lasting impression. And the first time I met my great-grandmother, she actually lived not too far from where I was living. And she was cleaning her fucking gutters, dude, at 90-something years old. You know, like, what the hell is that? You know, like, at 90-something years old, if I can still climb a roof and clean gutters. She had, how many? She was senile, definitely, 100%. She, like, she showed me one of the very first conversations we ever had. She's like, I have 13 brothers and sisters. I'm one of 14. She's like, see this one in the middle here? He was a piece of shit. And the day he died, we all partied, right? And it was like, holy fuck, man. Like, you know, like, holy shit. And I love that, you know, like, fuck yeah, sign me up. I want to be 90 when I die, you know, like, I want to be like mumbling.
The only reason why I want to be old is so I could talk shit to everybody and they can't do a thing about it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? This is my
no matter what, when you're an old person, you can say whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I'm finally racist. I get to be racist out loud, you know, and it's only a joke, but people can't tell me to shut the hell up about it because I can get away with it now. Right.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Hit someone who's 90? Get out of here. Oh, Bill Cosby got thrown in jail.
So my real dad's mom, she lived to be 90 something years old, and she had dementia and got the whole senile thing where she reverted back to being a child. Where she would call my dad, thinking that he was her dad. She had her little dolly that she would brush her hair and all that, and just, like, didn't want to get dressed. She'd just fucking take off, go down the street, fucking butt-ass naked, 90-something-year-old lady. Freaking just, it was just, she was just gone, and kind of one of the same things where just vertigo.
Man, do you know what viscosity is?
Go to the word.
Viscosity. Can't
tell you the definition right now, but I'm sure when you tell me, I'll remember what it is.
Yeah, so viscosity is like the thickness of a fluid, right? So, like, you know, you make a fluid less viscous or more viscous, you know, the thickness of a fluid, you know, and where I'm going with it is the podcast is sponsored by the Mudman. We were talking about the Mudman earlier, and the podcast is sponsored by the Mudman, and he deals in the thickness of your load. How thick is your load?
How thick is my load? Well, mine's diet. I've had a vasectomy twice, actually. I've had two vasectomies.
How do you have two?
The first one didn't work.
Oh shit! That sounds painful, bro. Hey, we gotta go back in.
Yeah, well, it was weird. Like, I did it through the VA, did the first one. So, I'd already had two baby mamas, two failed relationships with kids involved, and I was like, hey, you know what? I already got two kids in broken homes. I'm not doing this shit no more. And I'm like, and I was already in my early 30s. I think it was not even. I was in my late 20s when I did it. And I was like, you know what? I'm good. And I actually had some like tumors and stuff that they said, hey, freaking this cancer runs in your family. We got to go cut this shit out. And I talked to them about one of the vasectomy, and they said, you know what? It's actually will be beneficial for you to get a vasectomy while we do this. So they put me out completely. They removed the tumors and the growths or whatever shit. And they freaking did the vasectomy and everything at the same time. They said it actually helped prevent like some prostate cancers and some different things if you get this done and do it all the time. And I said, yeah. So they went through the trial since I was young. They said, okay, you have to come back in another month, make sure you still have the same answers, that you still want to do it, and then you come back again, because they don't want to just snip somebody because they don't want to get somebody pregnant kind of thing or whatever. They want to make sure it's a legit decision. And I said, well, for medical reasons, plus these are my reasons for it. Well, I did that. I went 7 years spraying and praying, thinking that I was fucking sterile, and found out the doctors didn't snip the tube. He snipped a piece of skin, and freaking one side was fucking good. The other side wasn't. And yeah, and then all of a sudden, freaking, I was married. And if she, my ex-wife now, or whatever, came home, she's like, hey, I'm pregnant. And I'm like, by who? Well, I didn't say that to her. I was just like, yay. Fucking made an appointment, went down to the fucking VA 5 o'clock in the morning the next day before fucking work. Fucking went and jerked off in a cup and said, you need to test this shit right fucking now. Called me the other day. Nope, you got swimmers still. I was like, well, guess it was God's plan for me to have another one. And that was the thing too with my wife. I told her, I'm not having any more kids. I'm done having kids. She had one. I had two. We had three together. We're good. But she always wanted us to have one together. And then, fair enough, we had one together. And then freaking went away on our 1 year anniversary for our wedding anniversary and got her pregnant again. Now I got four kids. Well, those four.
You're a stud.
So
I love
that. I went back and got another vasectomy and made sure I went and did my follow-up checks on this one. And I'm fucking in the clear still. I need to go back and do another one just to make sure.
I fucking love that. You're a stud, man. Look at you go. It's a little engine that could. Fucking, dude.
Now
this
I'm kind
is
of wishing I didn't because I heard that fucking unvaccinated sperm goes for a lot of money these days.
Oh, shit, bro. You should, like, random people? Like,
I didn't do the COVID. No. Yeah, I never got the COVID vaccine, none of those vaccines and shit. And they say that sperm goes for more money now. I'm like, fuck, I'm sitting on a landmine over here. I can't even use it.
What about first gen? What if I'm only first gen vaccinated? You know, I didn't get the 17 other ones that came out.
I don't know. I think it still fucking matters. I think they went completely on. That's what I've been told anyways. I don't know, but I'm about to go have the surgery to reverse it and start making some money.
Hell yeah, I would do that, man. You could sell that shit for fucking 10 grand or whatever. Man, this is a great explanation to the mud.
No, not the way my fucking, my fiance, she's fucking fertile. She's done two surrogacies. She has no problem getting fucking pregnant. She got three of her own. And, well, I call them mine, but freaking her daughter's like my daughter. Freaking, I love that child to death, her youngest one, but. Freaking the way she can get pregnant and the way I fucking get people pregnant. I'm like, no, I ain't doing this shit until you get through menopause. Then I'll start fucking selling my shit.
Yeah, man. So the mud man, dude, you know, this is great. Deals in the thickness of your load and you've got some thick shit. How old are you?
I'll be 40 in June.
I'm 36. So men in their mid 30s and fuck men in their mid 30s have never been thicker than they are now. They're loads, right? They got that thick shit, you know? And this is a proven fact. Proven fact. Look it up. Google it. I bet you you're.
Oh no. Even I say my shit's diet right now because I've had a vasectomy, but I still provide a full meal for my girl.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's so thick. She's got to chew before she swallows, you know? And like, yeah, man, fucking the Mudman, dude, www.mudmanmarket.com. He's going to love that. you know, the guy's responsible for, you know, making this podcast incredible, you know, or he's responsible for helping out anyways, you know, with the editing part of it, with the.
Well, fucking cheers to the Mudman.
Cheers to the Mudman, brother. I love that guy. And I hope the favor I asked him for today, hopefully it pulls through. We could have a really good show on our hands in the next couple of weeks. And that's going to be insane. But yeah, man, I love that guy. You know, he just, you know, mine and his relationship predates the podcast, right? Like he followed me on the socials before I decided let's get this podcast going. And then fairly early on in the podcast, he's like, hey, I can sponsor your show if you want. You know, let's go. We went on a 5-episode run almost 2 years ago. So, you know, it's been pretty incredible, man. I love that guy.
No, it seems like a good point you were saying about him earlier.
Hell yeah, man. Dude, so you need to get your podcast going. You need to figure out that internet shit. You need to, you know, maybe go somewhere else other than your house. You need to like figure it out. Cause like, man, I think, you know, with your voice and your stories and shit like that, and you know, the banter you can have with random people, i.e. me, you know, like I'd love to hear a podcast from you, man. You know, it'd be probably pretty good.
We'll have to pick your brain on how to get this shit going. I would like to do it if I have the time to do it. I could probably get some people to do the podcast with me. I'd be able to get some guests and whatnot. But if I were going to do it, I'd like to do it with like my, like I was telling you, so Dustin, who you're in the live with the other day.
Yeah, I like that guy.
So him and Robert, who is West Virginia Mountaineer on TikTok, Dustin's father, Juan Boncucci on TikTok. But we do our testosterone Tuesday thing every Tuesday. we do the men's mental health and just talk about life stories, have women come up, and I'll explain that to you. And that's every Tuesday we do that.
Yeah.
But the three of us just, we talk like Dustin's in Texas, Robert's in West Virginia. And we are three dudes that are so much alike, but so fucking different at the exact same time, if that makes sense. Like yeah. Our friendship, like we technically probably shouldn't be friends. We probably shouldn't even like each other. But for some reason, the way we all click is just ridiculous. People are like, I've never seen a friendship between three so different dysfunctional fucking people work so fucking well. Our time frame, like I'm California, he's Texas, and then we got West Virginia. So we're on every different time zone, and I'm the furthest one behind. So when I'm driving to work at 5:30 in the morning, boom, we can do a three-way face call most of the time. We're sitting there bullshitting. And we have our group chats on Snapchat. So it was like just random throughout the day. We're sitting here calling and talking to each other and doing our TikTok lives together and just whatever. And it's just the way it works. But if I can do a podcast with the three of us, we'd need like 8 hours of fucking footage time because none of us would shut the fuck up. But we would just have too much shit to talk about. We'd try to get it all out on one fucking episode every goddamn time.
Oh, yeah.
It works, but it's ridiculous.
That's hard not saying everything all the time, right? You're just like, hey, you know what? Maybe I'll save that for next time, you know? And yeah, it's podcasting game, man, dude. It takes a lot of work too, right? Especially if you have coworkers or co-hosts. You know, I had a co-host on another podcast I was on. It's hard making two people's schedules work. And then on top of that, getting a guest, and now you got to make three people's work, right? And like it's difficult, it's hard. And you know, 3 million podcasts I think start up every year or something like that. And you know, the average podcast doesn't last past episode 10, right? So really there's only 200,000 active podcasts out that are like every week or constantly consistently updating, right? So which is not a lot, right? It's not a lot, you know, really.
But you do one every week, you try to post one weekly, is that how it works?
Yeah, I don't try. I do, man. I haven't missed a week in 2 weeks. It got kind of close there last week. You know, we had a bit of an issue, but, you know, it was I try to stay, you know, 4 or 5 weeks ahead, sometimes maybe a little more. But then, you know, I also don't want to, you know, all right, I talk about something that happened way back here, and then, you know, 5 weeks from now, it doesn't make sense, right? But I try to keep a few weeks.
It's just irrelevant at that point.
Yeah, just because of how my schedule used to be too, where it was a lot harder to do. I never knew I was on call 24/7, so I didn't know if I was going to have time to record one this day, this day, this day. A lot of the earlier podcasts were like, "Hey, what are you doing in 20 minutes? Want to record?" Right, and you know, I got time right now, and I couldn't schedule like you. I couldn't schedule that far out. I couldn't schedule a couple days out. It was just impossible, right? So I had to keep that far ahead, and now I'm. I can record one or two a week and be okay with it. So yeah, it's not bad. I'd still like to coming up here.
That'd be my hardest. I have trouble recording a minute video on a daily, let alone fucking an hour fucking podcast to set aside the time for that. And it's like, for me, it's I lose motivation in doing shit kind of thing, unless it's like consistently going. But like there's just days I come home like, fuck, I don't want to fucking make any content today, or I don't have time, or I need to get my ass to the gym. I ain't worried about making a fucking video. You know how many times I make a fucking drink video and then go straight to the gym? That's why I'm always in a tank top or a freaking cutoff sleeve. I'm getting ready for the gym. I'm like, I get home from work at 3 something. The time I need to post a video is between 3:30 and 4 for my page to like get the views that I need or whatever so far anyways. Yeah. And it's like, hey, I try to go to the gym earlier because freaking then it gets too busy. And then when Ashley and Cameron get home, because they go to the gym with me most of the time, and so I got to wait for them. And it's like, I got a fucking big ass shot or a drink in me when I'm going to the gym. It's like, well, let's go.
I just posted a video at a weird time.
It's hard.
I just posted a video at a weird time for me, and it went viral. It's not viral, but it's got 15,000 views in 2 hours. Right. So like I'm sitting there and I'm like, all right, you know, my time is usually noon, and then I can post, you know, when my viewers are getting off work at like 6, 7 o'clock, sitting around in camp, you know, enjoying a meal after dinner, whatever. And that's, I post and they usually do pretty good. Well, you know, I just posted one at almost 2 in the afternoon, and it's, you know, the algorithm fucking confuses me sometimes, you know, it's fucking wild.
Yeah. So I tried, like there've been days I've tried to post at try to post by like 4 o'clock at the latest, because my highest view times are between like 3:30 and like 7:30. But then there's some videos like I posted at 6 or 7 o'clock at night and it won't do shit. But then the next day it fucking takes off or do like great right away and then just fucking die. So like, yeah. I don't think anybody actually knows what the hell these algorithms do on all these fucking social media places and everything else. It's just like before when I first started, I had to post by 8:30, 9 o'clock for a video to do good. If I post a video now, but then also it was like, cause that was like kind of COVID time. So everybody was home. Then I started saying, okay, if I post by this time here, that means it's people on lunch in Central or East Coast are on lunch. And then if it picks up momentum, by the time everybody else gets off work, then it'll still be going and they'll be getting the views and whatnot. And it's like, then it was just kind of like the stress that it fucking gives you trying to figure that shit out. It ain't fucking worth it. Just fucking post when you want to fucking post. And if it does good, it's going to do good. If it's not, it's not.
I wouldn't even care about the
video. And it's always the one that you're just like, whatever, I'm just going to do this video real quick that does good. The one you fucking put all the work into doesn't do a fucking thing.
Yeah, we were talking about that the other day, and I'm like, I don't really care how the views do anymore. I really don't. You know, it's too stressful to think about that all the time. I'm just going to – I do it because I like to do it. But you're making money off it. So you're like, I got to think about the views, right? And which is understandable, right? In Canada, we're not getting paid for our videos, which is dumb. But – I don't care anymore. You know, shout out to Gord who said that to me. His episode that we did of the podcast was the first ever live stream of the podcast, and we had 5 people watching, and I'm like, man, sorry, there's only 5 people in here. He's like, are you kidding me? If 5 people were sitting in front of us right now watching us record this, we'd be overwhelmed, right? He's like, dude, just don't even look at the number, just fucking do it, right? And so,
well, and that's the thing with people that don't get with their views. Like, you see a number on it, you think it's shit. But if you were to sit there and have that many, if you were on stage with that many people in front of you, like, how would you feel? Like, and I was thinking about that earlier today. I'm like, hey, the town I live in, I consider it a small town, which for here, it's considered a smaller town, but not small. For other states or whatever, it's freaking huge. But we have like 20,000 people here. And you got to think, like, so that would mean if one of my videos got 20,000 views, that would mean everybody in my entire fucking town or city, well, we consider it a town, saw me. Or if I was on stage, everybody in this that lived in this entire town just watched me.
Yeah.
Like, how many people sell out 20,000 people stadiums for their shit?
Yeah.
Or when you get hockey millions or hundreds of thousands. Yeah, it's sort of like what most stadiums hold, 80,000 people, 50,000, 40,000, or whatever. So when you get a video that goes over 40, 50,000, you just sold out. Like, how many people were at the last Super Bowl? What, 50, 60,000 people? Yeah. So you got to think, when you get a video that's over 50, 60,000 views, that means everybody that was at the Super Bowl that paid all that money or whatever, you just had the entire stadium watch your video.
Yep.
When you think about it that way, you're just like, holy shit, that's a lot. But people get so hooked on this number, like, oh, it's only this, it's only that. But if you have 600 people standing if you're like a stand-up comedian and you sold us 600 tickets for your stand-up show, that's fucking awesome.
Hell yeah.
TikTok shit is like, oh, 500 views ain't shit. But if you can have 500 people come to your show, it's huge. So why not fucking be happy with a little shit? I'm guilty as fuck of it. I'm like, fuck, I got almost 900,000 followers on TikTok. How the fuck do I only get fucking 20,000 views? But 20,000 people seeing me do a 1 minute clip is fucking actually pretty fucking awesome when you look at it at that standpoint of it.
Speaking of which, where can people find you on the socials?
So on TikTok, it's Wooden Rust. There's underscores between the and the rust. It's got my little logo. I only have that one. I have a Wooden Rust official, just my backup. It's only got like 3,000 followers. And for anybody that's on here, people message you from other. I don't message people on there. I might respond to some DMs. But I don't message people. I don't ask for money. I don't ask for shit. There's about 300 fake Wooden Rust accounts. So don't fall for that shit. I did start an Instagram, which is, I think, Wooden Rust or Wooden Rust Official. Put some of my drink videos on there. I only got like 300 followers on there. My YouTube, I just started. Not when TikTok went down a couple months ago is when I started all the other things. So they're all really small, and I keep forgetting to post my videos on there. My main focus is just like the TikTok ones. But I do need to get better on that. So I have a YouTube, a Facebook, and a Instagram. There's actually a fake Facebook that has like 18 plus thousand followers. That's not me. You'll see mine only has a few videos on it. I need to get better on it and figure out a way to let people know that this is the actual me. But yeah, I'm not very good about those other social medias. TikTok's my main one.
I was gonna ask you, and I wasn't sure if I could ask you or not. You were talking about how you do your testosterone Tuesdays and you talk mental health, right? You and I can't remember what that other guy's name. Yeah.
Father Juan Bancucci.
Yeah, you guys talk mental health and whatnot, and you guys, two guys that were in the military, you know, we talk mental health, and you both have suffered from PTSD.
Yeah, so what the whole testosterone Tuesday thing is, it started up, actually, I wasn't one of the founders of it. I started with it like a couple of weeks after they first, it started off as a joke between Dustin and Neil. They were talking about men and how simple men are. It's like, we just need blowjobs and sandwiches to keep us happy. Make us a sandwich, give us a blowjob, and we're happy. It's that simple with men. And then it started off, they doing a live, playing, joking around about it. And then we got to the point where we had a whole panel. We'd have the nine boxes open. We'd have eight men in there that were in there every week. And we'd leave one box open for somebody to come up and ask a question. And started off to be about men's mental health and relationships and just helping other dudes out. And then we got to the point where we had women coming up and asking questions. And so it became to the point where we have a panel of men from different walks of life, and we give advice based off of our life experiences and our perspective on it. And it's a lot of times we all agree on an answer. Sometimes we don't. And sometimes it gets a little toxic in there. We get some ratchet people in there. We have just weird people come up. But we've had thousands of DMs from people. Hey, your fucking lives have helped me out so much with the advice you guys have given, the things you've been through, like just telling us this or putting me in my place with this. Just like women, like, hey, I'm doing this with this guy, yada, yada. Why is it? And like, he's just looking for ass. And we're brutally honest. When a female comes up asking us a question, we don't care if it's considered breaking bro code. We're going to tell you the truth. Like, this dude's just looking to get a piece of ass from you or this. Or if a female comes up there and she's in the wrong, we're going to put her in her place. Say, well, you need to stop doing this bullshit, and then this will happen. And then we ask questions, women come up in their comments, and like, we get thousands of people that come through there, and it's a fucking great show. Sometimes we get off track and it gets really ratchet and we talk shit, and we've been banned on there a couple of times. We've had people report us. We've freaking pissed off a lot of people. Some people don't want to hear the truth. Some people just want to be offended just for the sake of being offended and to be a fucking victim. But for the most part, we just tell it how it is based off what we feel. You don't have to agree with it if you don't like it. That's just fucking life. But for the most part, if you sit there and listen, it's pretty much all really good advice and fucking just honest advice. And none of us are therapists or psychologists or none of that shit. It's mainly fucking blue collar guys, a couple that aren't. So I'm like with Dustin, he's a mechanic, but he's also a nurse. He's got three medical degrees, and he likes being a mechanic more, so he does that. Other best friend, or my main best friend, fucking Robert, my boo-boo, he's a fucking well tender in the oil field. He's our goofball out of the group. Can say it the nice way, but he's been through a lot of shit in his life, so he understands the shit. He's in a relationship where he has his ups and downs, so he can has his experiences through that with me. So like we were talking, I got three baby mamas. I've been divorced twice. I am in another relationship now where we live together. We're engaged. We dated for a couple of years. It didn't work for whatever reasons, and we took a little time off. We got back together. I worked on myself for the most part. What was the issue? And for me, I have no problem saying when, hey, I'm the one who fucked up. I can own my shit. And too many people have so much pride where they don't ever want to admit when they were in the wrong or when they're doing something wrong. And with the guys that we have in this panel, they don't have that pride where they need to impress anybody by trying to be Mr. Macho or whatever. We just say, hey, when I was doing this, yeah, I talked to several girls. At the same time, I was being shady, and this is why this shit didn't work. And I was Mr. Oh, yeah, no, she can't go through my phone. Well, why not? Well, because you're hiding shit. So it's like now, and it's like, hey, this live that we do together has helped me tremendously. And I think that the success of the relationship I am in now is because I've been a part of this. It's actually helped me listen to other people. It's helped me put myself in check to not be a fucking idiot, knowing how amazing of a woman I have, and to not fuck it up by being worried about other outside attention or whatever else, because we know social media makes it so easy to fuck up.
Yep.
But to know, like one of my favorite sayings with this, and I kind of sucks the person I heard it from or whatnot, but they say the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. No, the grass is greener where the fuck you water it.
Yep. Well, the grass is
greener where you water it and fertilize it. If you're continuing to fertilize and water your fucking lawn, it's going to be greener than anywhere else. So if you continue to put your work in your relationship, it's going to be the best relationship ever. When this person said that, it fucking hit home with me. And I was like, okay, well, instead of seeing, hey, this chick over here that's wanting to fucking be flirty with me, why not me be flirty with my woman and get that same shit that I could have got over there, but I already have the work put in over here kind of thing. So it's just kind of like, it's helped me tremendously. And that's the thing that they say, like, never stop fucking dating.
Never.
Just because you have her don't mean you shouldn't be continuing to stop wanting to try to impress her or get her to fucking want to be in love with you or fall in love with you again. You should, your partner should fall in love with you every fucking day for the first time kind of thing. Because that's when you feel the best in your relationship, is when it's all giddy and new and fun and all this other shit, and you have that. And since I've figured this out and woke the fuck up and stopped being a fucking idiot, I've never been happier in a relationship.
Yep.
And it's like, we joke and we play and we do all this bullshit and everything else, and we roast each other and we have a great time. And I've never been in a stronger relationship than I am now.
Yep.
And I had to, and it was because I had to pull my head out of my ass. Been with other relationships where I got cheated on or whatever, it's still, I'll take accountability for me not giving them a reason to want to fight or whatever reason, working too much, whatever other the fuck shit could be. But it's not 100% my fault, but there's always, you can always look at yourself and things that you could have improved in a relationship. It's a very, very beneficial life for people.
My wife and I, we've been together for 20 years, been married for 13 this year. And man, you know, absolutely, you know, never stop dating, you know, and what you said, the grass is always greener. Well, the grass isn't always greener on the other side, right? It's water greener where you water it, but the grass is usually greener on the other side because it's fertilized with bullshit, right? And that's another one that I like to hear, you know, the fertilized with bullshit thing. You know, it took me a long time to, you know, grow up myself, right? You know, I was, we were young when we got together, but we got two kids and we had a rough year last year. My mental health was in the shitter, you know, and she said something to me, and I've said this a couple of times. She said something to me that really just, it brought tears to my eyes. And, you know, I've been getting help this year. I've been seeking therapy and working on my shit. But, you know, she said something to me that really just, you know, wow, it's like a boom, you know, I had to fight you for you every single day because no one else was going to fight you as hard as I was going to fight for you. Right. Like, you know, it was like she had to fight me for me. Right. And that just boom, you know, a mic drop, dude. And, you know, Mrs. Frost, dude.
Dude, honestly, that is 100% my fiance to the fucking T right there. The forgiveness and the putting up with the shit and the, like, there was one day she said, I was trying to fucking end it because I fucked up. And I was like, yeah, I don't want to do this to you. It's not right. Like, if it roles were reversed, I'd tell you to kick rocks kind of thing. And she said, you know what? No. I have love for you. There's certain barriers that were not crossed that aren't unforgivable. And she said, I will not leave anything on the fucking table and end this relationship. If there's anything worth fighting for, I'm going to fight for it. And just her saying that and just showing me how much fucking love that this woman has for me.
Yeah.
Where, like I said, if the roles were reversed, I'd have told her to kick rocks.
Yeah.
But the fact that she knew that there was something worth fighting for, and that I think for me, it was like somebody actually is willing to fight for me, is what made me pull my ass.
Yeah.
And not worry about it and stop having that pride about, oh, I don't need nobody or I can whatever myself and kind of thing. Just the fact that a woman was able to put me before her and our relationship before anything else kind of thing and fight for me. was a huge eye opener, and not enough people do that. And I'm guilty. I wouldn't have done it. Would I now? Fuck yes, because I see how important it is. But until she said that, I was just like, damn, this woman fucking actually loves me and gives a shit. And people are just so fucking, like I said, I'm so guilty of it. As soon as there's a problem, bye. People don't fight for shit anymore.
I wasn't shown proper love growing up. You know, my dad, he might have loved me, but like he didn't show it. You know, my mom and my dad, they split when I was six. So my mom, she moved 8 hours away, right? Usually, you know, I went with my dad. Most kids go with the mom, and you know, but she moved 8 hours away. I never saw her. You know, I don't have many memories of growing up with my mom, right? And it left a huge hole, right? So, you know, it took me a long time to realize this. That woman up there, she's showing me nothing but the purest form of love, our entire relationship, you know? And that scared the fuck out of me for a long time because I was never showing what love is. And then all of a sudden this, well, when's the other shoe going to drop, right? And that's what scared the fuck out of me. Dude. And yeah, dude, I was diagnosed with borderline personality disorder this a couple months ago, a month ago. Right. And she always knew I had something. Dude, I felt like understood for the first time in my life, bro. You know, with crazy amounts of things. It's been eye opening for sure.
Yeah. See, I grew up the same way. My parents are immigrants from a third world country. Was it the country at the time, I would say, but my parents split when I was five. My real dad never believed I was his, didn't give a fuck about me. Like I said, I was the youngest one and never gave, he just wasn't a part of him. He didn't want to be a part of his life kind of thing. I didn't know what a dad was until my stepdad came around. My mom, she's a housekeeper, clean houses as an immigrant, and she came here legally, like it had a visa, but couldn't speak the language. I didn't learn English until I was going to school. Spoke Portuguese in the house, and it was just freaking a rougher upbringing. But coming from that lifestyle, I didn't get cuddles. I didn't get the "I'm proud of you." I didn't get the "How was your day?" All this and that, and the love that like you see on TV shows and all the other stuff that you like. Is this what normal life is? Is this how people actually live? I didn't experience that stuff. I craved it and I wanted it, and I always wanted that attention. And that's why I fucked up so much as a kid and was a dumbass, because I was just craving attention. And so it definitely transferred into my adult life with fucking relationships, not knowing. And then when previous relationships, like I was always the provider, I was always so like I was needed for something. So like, is that really what the love was? Is it because I provided something? And with this relationship, it's the first time like I've had a dual income or anything else, and it's just kind of like she doesn't need me to survive, but she wants me kind of thing. So that just makes it a million times fucking different, and it fucking hits different.
Absolutely, bro. Hey man, I don't want to keep you too much longer, bro. I know my wife here, she's chomping at the bit to get dinner served here, and I know we're coming on, you know, 4 o'clock for you. So I like to you know, finish the podcast up by asking, you know, one last question. And you know, Mount Rushmore has you know, four of the most influential people up on the Rock. And if you could have your own Mount Rushmore, four people you look up to, inspire to be, or that you inspired, who would they be and why?
So my mom would be the first one, or probably two of them, because as a single freaking immigrant mother that didn't fucking, mom of three that didn't freaking know the language, the way she busted her ass, working to literally clean two houses a day, go work at a tomato plant at night, fucking graveyard, literally all day, get a couple hours of sleep just to make sure my brother, sister, and I never went without. She's my role model. She's my idol. That woman is fucking the hardest motherfucker. I'm still the only person I'm scared of in this world. I'll fight a UFC fighter before I fight my mom. She will still slap shit. I mean, I won't do a fucking thing about it. She takes two of the fucking spots. Fucking Ashley would take the third because she showed me what fucking love is and true love. And then I would put Robert and Dustin together as one face on the fourth one, because they showed me what real fucking friendship is and what not a motherfucker behind other than the camaraderie I had in the Marine Corps. These dudes, we've been together in person several times, but people I've met online through TikTok have shown up for me and been there for me more than any other friend I've had in fucking person, really, other than maybe one other person. those motherfuckers. So I'll just say the four of my mom, actually Robert and Dustin, because those are fucking people that are influential in my life. I care less about celebrities and presidents and all that other shit. It's the people that have actually fucking put value into my life that belong up there.
Fuck yeah. I think you, me, and Dustin should get on a podcast together, man. I think I would like to get you two on the podcast here, man. Just free flow, shoot the shit for like as long as we can, you know, go and keep her going.
Oh, I'm here for it, and I'm sure Dustin will. You need to come in on Tuesday to testosterone Tuesday so you can meet Robert.
Yeah,
you will see the way that he is, and you'll fucking want him on here too. Like I said, he's an oil tender. You guys can have some common ground on shit like that about the oil fields and all that. Yeah. But he's fucking hilarious, and that motherfucker's been through shit in his life too. And he's another deep voice guy. The reason why his voice is deep is a little bit different, and I'm sure he'd tell that story on here. But he's lived a rough life himself growing up and everything too. So he's a fucking solid motherfucker. Like right now, don't matter what his financial situation is, if I said, hey, I need you here right now, this motherfucker will sell his vehicle to fucking get a flight over here to have my back. Dustin's the same way, and that's why I say they are the realest fucking people I've ever met. Like I got other friends through that I've met through here, they're the same way, but we're the thruple. We started doing like a thruple Thursday live where with the three of us, we get on live together and bullshit and joke and people love seeing it. But those dudes are the realest fucking dudes you'll ever fucking meet.
Ah, yeah, man.
I'm doing my 40th birthday cruise in June and they're both going to be there.
Hell yeah. I'm going to come in on Tuesday, this Tuesday. And what time do you guys do that at usually?
So for you, it'll be 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock your time. Cause you're an hour ahead of me, right?
At night or in the morning?
Because it's at night. So Western time is 6. Texas Central time, it's 8. Eastern time is 9. That's U.S. times. We go for 2 hours. And then a lot of times after it's done, because Dustin's the host, then I do an after party or an after dark or whatever. I've been staying away from a little bit because this shit was getting really toxic and I was with my account and I put too much work into it to fucking fuck it up. But it just depends on the day. But we get a solid 2 hours in that life where you laugh your ass off for most of it. You might laugh, you might cry a little bit. You might be like, hey, fuck all of you. But there's going to be several emotions that go through. Normally it's a lot of laughing because we try to keep it lighthearted, serious, yeah. But also, especially with like Robert can't take shit too serious. He's that, like, I'm going to crack every fucking joke at a funeral I can, because when shit gets a little too serious, he gets nervous and that's just his go-to, is to fucking do something stupid or funny or whatever. But it's a good time. You definitely need to be there.
All right, man. I'm coming this Tuesday to check.
You can be the first Canadian on the panel.
Oh shit. I'm going to give you
that's
like,
since you have been married first, you'll be the only person that's, I think, still married, that's been married for so long, that can actually give advice from somebody who's been in a successful relationship to this point, kind of thing. Like, I'm in a successful relationship, but it's only been a couple of years, not freaking 20 like you. So it would actually be good to get your opinion on some of the questions.
All right, man. Hell yeah. I mean, I'll see you on Tuesday, brother.
Sounds good.
Thanks for coming on the podcast, man. You know, this is my baby. Hey, you know, I get excited to record. I get excited to put it out. I just get excited. You know, it's been 2 years. This has been a real fun passion. So, you know, I like to talk and learn, and this, you know, network, this, you know, plays hand in hand with that. So
I'm gonna post it and I'll do a video to promote it.
Hell yeah, man. My wife is getting ready to have dinner here, so I will catch you later. And hey, Darren, stay frosty, brother. And you can't hear it.
Stay positive, test negative.
Like that one. Music is playing.
So you can't hear us. I hear static again.